on the Empire Podcast today, we are talking about the Oscars. Welcome to our very sleep-deprived semi-annual tradition of doing a podcast immediately after the Oscars. I am Chris Hewitt, and I am joined by, you know, the word hero is bandied around, I think, a little bit too easily these days, but I'm joined by two real heroes who stayed up with me all night and in my flat. We are recording this in my flat, not a pod booth, not a studio, which is why the sound might be a little bit off, but here we go. Here are the heroes. James Dyer.
Good morning.
How are you?
To quote another well-known Oscar pundit, I feel like a pig shat in my head.
Which Oscar pundit said that?
Withnell.
Withnell?
Yeah.
Oh, there you go. Was he an Oscar pundit?
Yes.
I think you're making that up. And Ben Travis, how are you?
I'm good. I was going to try and come up with a fun film reference, but my brain is not working at all, so I can't right now.
This should be good then, shouldn't
Yay.
It? Because we're going to talk about the Oscars. We just spent the last, it was probably only 4 hours, but it seems like a day, looking at the 90th Oscars ceremony, which, you know, most of you will probably know the winners by now. If not, this is probably not the place to find them out, but we're going to talk about the ceremony, we're going to talk about the winners, and then we're going to go sleep. I'm going to sleep on my bed, which is about 25 feet away from me. James, you've got a 2-hour journey ahead of you. Ben, where do you live? Exactly where?
Cause, I've got several buses to take.
Okay, I have no sympathy for either of you. So the ceremony has finished. It was hosted once again by Jimmy Kimmel. And what did we think of the ceremony, first of all? Did we think it was... what is the stand in the grand pantheon of Oscar gigs?
It was hella tedious, I believe, is a good way to describe this one. It wasn't one of the better years. It felt quite subdued. It felt quite laboured as well. And it felt quite short on laughs. I thought the opening monologue was... it started with that slightly odd kind of faux old-fashioned footage thing, which was excruciating.
Yeah, that was really weird. Yeah. I didn't like that.
But I thought his opening monologue was good. I thought he dealt with, you know, some of very difficult topics like the Weinstein stuff very well. He kept it respectful and light, but slightly... sort of gently humorous.
Yeah, there were a few like proper laughs in there.
Yeah, he struck the tone perfectly there, and that was an incredibly hard job. So I think he deserves a lot of respect for that. I thought the rest of the evening just felt a little bit, I don't want to say half-assed, but yeah, a little bit half-assed. I mean, even his Matt Damon sort of like jokes in there felt a bit sort of like stuffed in and thrown away as he was skipping onto other things. Yeah, it wasn't one of the better years.
I think after all the madness of last year, it just felt quite safe in very many respects. After that kind of opening monologue, from then on in, a lot of the winners and a lot of the kind of jokes and bits and things that they did, it wasn't very exciting. It felt like they just wanted to kind of keep it safe and easy and make sure that everything ran smoothly rather than kind of doing anything that interesting with it.
Making sure there were no massive screw-ups, for example, with the Best Picture winner, which, of course, was presented again this year by Warren Beatty and Faye Dunaway, and this time they got it right, as far as we know. Even now, they could be frantically going through the envelopes.
I'm almost certain they got it wrong.
They got it wrong. Well, I know you're furious about it from a different perspective, but we'll get on to that in a second. The Jimmy Kimmel thing's interesting. I thought he did a brilliant job last year. He did especially well during the Moonlight, La La Land contretemps, and a bit of French feel there, dropped it there, even though I'm tired and I have no idea what it means. The accoutrements of the Oscars were well handled by Jimmy Kimmel, and this year I thought he was a little bit lacking, shall we say. The material wasn't there, the delivery wasn't there. There was a bit towards the end whenever Best Picture had won and it was Shape of Water, and Guillermo del Toro had made his lovely speech, and then the producer, Miles Dale, was played off by the orchestra, despite the fact that they said specifically no one would be played off by the orchestra. And there was the orchestra playing him off. And Jimmy Kimmel comes on and goes, well, you know, what did you want to say? And rather than bringing Miles Dale back to the podium, to the microphone, it just kind of died a death a little bit.
That was excruciating. Yeah, yeah. No, not a nice way to deal with it. He should have just handed him the microphone, quite frankly, but there you go.
Yeah, he should have done. In other words, it just felt like, you know, I was live tweeting it, and a couple of times I said, God, how long is this show going to be? 2.5 hours in, it seems like it's going to be endless. We thought it was going to be about 4 hours, and it came in at about 4 hours. Mm-hmm. It doesn't need to be 4 hours.
Well, there was that bit that when they did the thing where they got loads of actors and stuff and headed across to the cinema next door, And I was just sitting there thinking, like, we're only just halfway through. Oh. And this is going to take like a few minutes to get everyone out and across. You're going to do the comedy bit. It's not going to be that funny. And then it's going to take everyone a few minutes to come back into the cinema. And this, it just felt like a bit of a waste of time. That- Although we did get Ansel Elgort and Armie Hammer holding giant hot dog cannons, which was quite entertaining. But that other than that,
I felt
that whole
just
thing was
horribly
weird.
Patronizing, didn't it?
Oh, God.
They look at all the normies.
Little people. And the fact is that these people have been watching A Wrinkle in Time, and not only did they interrupt their film, which frankly is going to be unwelcome, these are people who had opted to see A Wrinkle in Time rather than watch the Oscars, so clearly had no interest in what was going on. So a slightly odd stunt, I thought, to pull there.
It was an inversion of last year's, where they bust a whole bunch of ordinary people in to be patronised at the Oscars.
It's very Marie Antoinette, isn't it?
Have you seen these famous people? Look, these famous people will deign to look at you and make you part of their lives for 30 seconds. And this was an inversion of it. And last year it worked against the odds, I think, because the personalities of the people involved. And again, it worked this year because the personalities of the people involved. But just about, you know, when you have Armie Hammer in a tux firing hot dogs into an audience, Gal Gadot, and, you know, hey, if there's anything that comes from this Oscars, it's that the world now knows how to pronounce Gal Gadot. It is not Gal Gadot, it's Gal Gadot. And the strength of her personality walking into the room, she goes, I don't know if any of you know who we are. And it's like, you're Wonder Woman. You were in a movie that was huge last year. Of course they know who you are. But I think they just about managed to carry it over the line. And what a night as well for Guillermo del Toro, who was spending it carrying a massive, it looked like 10 feet long sandwich into La Cinema, and then ended up winning two huge Oscars.
I wonder which of those things he was happier about.
Maybe it's a tie. Should we say it's a tie and go from there? But, you know, I thought Kimmel did okay with that bit, but I thought overall his material was a bit lacking. But, you know, who knows? There's enough maybe to bring him back next year. Although, as ever, there seems to be a pairing of presenters that people will latch onto on the Twitter machine and go, these are the people we would like to see hosting this or the Golden Globes. I thought Kumail Nanjiani and Lupita Nyong'o did really, really well together.
They
I thought it was
amazing.
A really, really funny and really pointed bit as well. And I think the standout, according to Twitter, certainly I thought they were very funny as well, was Tiffany Haddish and
Maya Rudolph.
Yeah.
It became their like two women comedy show for a while, and I was well into that, especially because, as we said, the rest of it was a bit dry. I think that like stood out so much because it was so much funnier than a lot of the other stuff that was going on.
Natural, and none of the others do. And the thing I always find fascinating about the Oscars is kind of twofold, is that the sort of presenting speeches feel like some kind of punishment for the people involved. Like it's like it's designed to make them look as awful as possible. But also these are professional actors and they come across as so wooden reading these things. And you'd think, given that it's their job, that it would be easier to kind of make it seem a little bit more natural. I mean, do they see them in advance? Is there a run through
or is it the first time
they're ever seeing
there's rehearsal. There's plenty of rehearsal.
It kind of surprises me.
But the rehearsal isn't with, you know, however many thousand people there are in the Kodak Theater and however many billions of people that we're told watch the Oscars every year. So that brings with it a certain amount of pressure. And when you're on stage as well and you're doing a rehearsal, you know, I know this from limited experience, nowhere near the scale of the Oscars. When you're doing a gag and it plays in an empty room, it plays in a very, very different way. And suddenly if you're in a room with like 1,500 people and the acoustics are weird, you don't get the laughter the way that you think you're going to get the laughter. It can create a moment of delay, shall we say. But yeah, I have to say, by and large, the writing of the presenting gigs is terrible. There was a bit where Jane Fonda and Helen Mirren came out and everyone was like, oh my God, we're going to get some amazing speech about Time's Up or Me Too. And they started to go down that way. And then Jane Fonda goes, but if there's one thing, men and women over the years, if there's one thing that unites us all, it is the love of a great performance. Is that the thing that unites us all?
That's the best segue you can come up with. It's just that was just dreadful. I really enjoyed Jennifer Lawrence and Jodie Foster.
Yes.
That's loads of fun.
I'd like to host them. I would like to host them. They're welcome to come round. I mean, you guys are here. The doors are open. Why not? I would like them to host the Golden Globes next year. That'd be really fun. I don't know. Jodie Foster really legitimately has damaged her leg.
I couldn't work out. Is this like just an odd, a really elaborate gag? No, but I think she has hurt her leg. But the street gag was very funny.
It was good. I liked Mark Hamill in the Star Wars
BB-8
bit.
Coming out. I know the like
oh,
BB-8.
No. Come
they're
on.
They're rolling out everything.
It's too much.
But
no.
It's still too much. It's still... I love it. I love him.
Yeah, I didn't feel it. Also, it's not the real BB-8.
Yeah, they just went down Argos and bought one.
If it's going now, I will happily give it at home if I've got spares.
But Mark Hamill was quite funny with one of the few references to last year's mix-up where he went, as he was opening the envelope, he went, dude, don't say La La Land, don't say La La Land, don't say La La Land.
Was that Mark Hamill? Was he actually there or was he force-projecting his way into the auditorium?
Benny boy, you've been working on that. It's good.
That's my one joke that
saved it. It's pretty good. I like it.
Thanks.
I like it. Otherwise, I'd give the ceremony itself a solid 6 out of 10. I thought it was okay. That montage that went on forever.
What was the fucking war one in the middle of it? Let's celebrate war.
It was weird.
What on earth was that all about?
Yeah. I think it was an attempt to doff the cap to the men and women who are fighting for freedom around the world, not just for America, but for all the countries that, think that freedom is something that should be fought for. But it did come across as basically a massive version of Miguel Ferrer's War. It's fantastic line from Hot Shots Part 2.
America, fuck yeah.
It was very Team America.
It was very peculiar.
They tried to choose somber films, so there was a bit of Platoon in there, there was a bit of Saving Private Ryan in there, but by and large, it was.
And then you had Eddie Vedder singing the In Memoriam, and all I could think of all the way through it was you just going, I think I did.
And they missed people out.
Yeah, they did.
They did.
But I do think having him was an odd choice. I think I said on Twitter, I think they missed a trip by not having Lin-Manuel Memoriam. What I'd have done.
Is that same. Okay? Is that pun okay?
That's totally fine.
Is
that's
that
totally
respectful?
Fine. Did they choose Eddie Vedder because his name right? It sounds like Deddy Deader.
Yes. I believe that's exactly why they chose him, yes.
That's maybe it. So who wasn't in the In Memoriam? Toby Hooper wasn't in the In Memoriam, apparently. To be honest, I completely switched off during the In Memoriam. So, yeah. They
and
could have
many
had...
people on Twitter pointed out, Kevin Spacey's career wasn't featured. So that was that was interesting.
They could have had a whole bunch of people in there as well. Sean Moreau apparently wasn't in there. Frank Vincent wasn't in there as well. So not, but that's not, that always happens with the In Memoriam. They don't get everyone, and I think they just do it just so they can get people talking on Twitter. That's it. Hashtag Deddy Deader.
Daddy,
you've killed him. Look, you've killed Ben.
All right. Do people win things? People won things, right?
People won some things.
People won some things.
That fucking fish film won a load of them.
I believe it is called The Shape of Water, Jimbo, and it is not called That Fucking Fish Film. And it won 4 Oscars, making it the big winner of the night.
I was unhappy to see Shagging Nemo take away 4 Oscars this evening.
It's good to see that you can appreciate the artistry and the work and the heart that went into this lovely,
honestly,
gorgeous
film. It is literally, it's Guillermo del Toro's worst film. And
no,
yet
it's
wins
not
best
Guillermo
picture.
Del Toro's worst
I would
film.
Take Hellboys 1 and 2 over that.
Well, Hellboy 1 and 2 are both, some of are both very, yeah. very good films. You've chosen so, poorly there.
I like them both. I'm just saying, he makes generally good films.
Yeah.
I'm not saying Pacific Rim was more deserving of a Best Picture Oscar, but...
It doesn't, but of course, interestingly, he chose to forego the chance to direct Pacific Rim 2 in favor of The Shape of Water, and I bet he's regretting it now.
Yeah.
Because it is kind of interesting. I mean, I was on set of this movie in Toronto last September, and when I saw it, I knew what it was, because when it was first announced, I didn't know what to expect, and the title seemed very abstract. And
yeah, because water doesn't have a shape. That's kind of the point of it.
Well, that's the point. The point is that it takes the shape of whatever vessel it is in. So
mansplaining water.
I'm mansplaining the film now to James. I'm mansplaining the film to James. So the idea is that the amphibian man, played by Doug Jones, one of the few actors in the film not nominated, absurdly, other people project themselves onto him and assume a shape depending on how he affects them. That's one of the meanings of the film. Anyway.
He looks like he appreciates it a lot more now.
Yeah.
But I remember thinking, what is this film? Why is he doing this? I mean, I get a smaller films or his thing, Pan's Labyrinth, etc. And then we went on set and I was like, oh, okay, I get it now. It's a kind of Oscar-baity thing, but it's so weird. It's such a genre film. It is essentially a film
about a frogman in a bath.
About a frogman in the bath who makes makes, you know, shall we say, sweet, beautiful love with a mute cleaning lady. I didn't think this would be Oscar's bag at all, but Oscar went, it is my bag, baby.
We all found out what the Oscar vote is really like. I felt the same thing when I saw it for the first time. Like, James isn't a fan, but I love this film. And the first time I saw it, I was... Oh, God, cliches and brain tiredness, but I was genuinely quite swept away by it. I kind of really felt quite overwhelmed by it. But I thought, as much as that was beautiful and gorgeous and very Guillermo, it is weird, and it's got some really, like, jagged edges to it. You've got dead cats, and you've got
people
being dragged around by bullet holes in their cheeks, and
it's quite brutal,
nasty, brutal stuff.
It's got Michael Shannon's arse in it. I mean,
is anything worse than that? The fingers moment, the fingers thing. Yeah, so I just thought it might be a bit too weird.
Yeah,
especially for best film.
Rated R from Michael Shannon's arse.
See, I don't understand a world where people think that film is better than Three Billboards. But interestingly, there seems to have been like a weird reaction to Three Billboards, like specifically in America. Like, there's some strange hot takes about that, whether it be about, you know, the redemption arc of Sam Rockwell's character, or whether about the way it sort of portrays that part of America, do you know, in terms of bigotry and whatnot. It seems that Americans, there's been a sort of a reaction to that perhaps we British have not had.
But it certainly was interesting to me that this was the a movie that took two acting Oscars home for Sam Rockwell and Frances McDormand. I think both are very, very well deserved in terms of, you know, the people who were nominated in that category. Mm. We could argue until the cows come home that there are other people who should have been in those categories. I mean, how Vicky Creeps was not nominated for Phantom Thread.
It's crazy.
She neither best actress.
So much.
Oh, my God, yeah. And best actress or best supporting actress is beyond me. Yeah, I think they're both fantastic in that, and it's a very, very good film. Which means I didn't know where I was going with that sentence, because I'm so fucking tired when I started it, and I just kind of thought I would end it.
I mean, it's interesting with Three Billboards that it has been the front runner of the entire awards season so far, but there is something about it that meant that it didn't connect as well for the Oscars. What do you think that is?
I don't think it's been a front runner at all. I think Shape of Water's been the front runner for this for the last, easily the last month to 6 weeks. I think if there's anything that, you know, I take away from tonight, is I feel slightly sad that it was all a bit predictable. You know, we knew all the acting Oscars going in. It was going to be Gary Oldman. It was going to be Frances McDormand. It was going to be Sam Rockwell. It was going to be Allison Janney. Now, you know, I think most of them are deserving. I think Gary Oldman, in years to come, you look back at this and go, he won the Oscar. I mean, it's great that Gary Oldman's got an Oscar and is much deserved because he's a brilliant, brilliant actor, but that's the film he won for?
Mm.
That's the performance he won?
Not a great film.
It's not a great film, and even though it's a good performance, he doesn't sound like Churchill.
Or
he doesn't
look like Churchill.
Yeah. You know, it's a thing. But, you know, it's one of those cumulative Oscars, isn't it? It's one of those, well done, you've been brilliant and everything.
Yeah, there weren't a lot of upsets. I mean, obviously, The Boss Baby not walking away with its category was a bit of a shock for me. But I think beyond that...
The biggest shock for me, and I had this out a little bit with a bloke on Twitter, was Jordan Peele winning Get Out Best Original Screenplay, which I thought that was an incredibly strong category. Mm-hmm. I thought it was going to go to Martin McDonagh for Three Billboards. It could have gone, honestly, it could have gone to anyone in that category.
I can all agree. Right. It should have gone to the 4-star masterpiece that is Molly's Game.
Well, that would have been a real shock.
No, because the wrong category, isn't it? Category. Yes, that's adapted. Yeah, I knew it got robbed. I just can't remember where.
Which one?
Tired, leave me alone.
That was the one award of the night where I kind of sat up a little bit more on the sofa and went, oh my God, I'm so happy that that's happened, that it wasn't locked in for that. But it is a shame that that is the one thing. When it got that award, I thought, best film, it could happen. It really could happen. And I was rooting for it because it's been in the conversation for the last year and was really so far outside Oscar season and outside that whole circle. But it has been such an integral part of like what people have been talking about in film over the last year. And aside from that, it's just an incredible, like really straightforwardly enjoyable, but also really nuanced and complex.
If you subscribe to the old fashioned opinion that best picture should go to the best picture, then certainly Get Out deserves to be in that conversation. As I would say, does Lady Bird, as does Three Billboards. I thought it was a pretty strong year this year, maybe Darkest Hour aside, but you know, Call Me By Your Name, Phantom Thread, these are all very, very good films. I don't think this is going to be a crash situation. I don't think we're going to look back in this in years to come and be a little bit embarrassed by things.
I disagree.
You disagree. Well, actually, you never know. People may go, oh, we could have given it to Get Out or Lady Bird or Three Billboards.
Or a good film, yeah.
But I think this is a good solid choice. But Get Out, I think, would have been very, very happy with. Mm. There was a point as well when Dunkirk won Best Editing, and there's that weird stat going around that more often than not,
that's right, yeah,
the film that wins Best Editing goes on to win Best Picture. Obviously, that didn't happen this year. But, you know, I surprise-wise, I thought it was just a bit bland. But the Jordan Peele thing was great. His speech was good and energetic and inspirational. I'm fascinated to see what he does next. But it did feel to me, looking back now, it felt like the year that Tarantino won Best Original Screenplay for Pulp Fiction. And he even took the stage and said, I've got a feeling this is the only one I'm going to win tonight, so thank you very much. And then he did a speech, and everyone was at the time going, that's a little bit presumptuous of him, but he was right. So so there we go.
Jordan Peele also gets best tweet of the night for me for, I think he just wrote, I won an Oscar, WTF. I thought that was very relatable.
That's good. His speech was very good. Frances McDormand's speech was an interesting one, where she got all of the female artists to stand up in the auditorium. I mean, she's fantastic. She's madder than a box of frogs.
Yeah,
she is fantastic. She was pretty hyper. Yeah. Pretty hyper.
Yeah, that's great. It's interesting seeing what the Oscar in particular means to all these people, because by and large, they've been sweeping the Golden Globes and the BAFTAs and Guild Awards. And, you know, BAFTA, their speeches were all very, very good and very, but also a little bit reserved. But tonight's Sam Rockwell's speech was nice.
Yeah, he was great.
Yeah, dedicated to Philip Seymour Hoffman. Alison Janney's speech, which was just, you could just see there's an extra sort of spark of electricity. There's an extra bit of voltage in them when they win an Oscar. And
goes without saying, I was very pleased when she won.
Yes, you were. Although, we could have a discussion about Laurie Metcalf's merits in that particular category as well.
I believe it was her performance in The West Wing that really swung it.
I think so. Gary Oldman's speech was, I thought it started okay, and then he delivered
it. It was long
it
and tedious, but it ended well.
It ended well because he made a joke about the jet ski thing, which is one of the best Jimmy Kimmel
running gags.
The idea that, you know, someone will win a jet ski for the shortest speech. And if we are to believe how the show ended, Mark Bridges, who won Best Costume Design for Phantom Thread, won the jet ski.
Apparently it's worth $18,000.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Decent price for having a short speech.
He can go and sail it on Lake Hufasa. Is that a real lake?
It felt a little bit. I probably is, but it felt like that part was a gag.
I didn't want to Google it. I didn't want to ruin the illusion. So what was I going to say? Yes. So Gary Oldman's speech came together at the end because he made that joke about the jet ski.
And told his mum to put the kettle on.
Yeah, his 99-year-old mum, or she's about to be 99, put the kettle on mum and bringing Oscar home, which is lovely. And hey, Gary, if you're listening and you're coming home to London and you fancy bringing your Oscar into the Empire podcast, he's not listening, is he?
He's not. No.
He's not listening. But then the Frances McDormand thing was great. And it felt like a really galvanizing moment in a ceremony that obviously tackled Me Too and Time's Up and Never Again head on several times. Most notably, I would say, in that I thought the best VT of the night, which is the one that was introduced by Ashley Judd and Annabella Sciorra and Salma Hayek.
Yeah.
And it had this lovely, funny, I thought perfectly judged tonally, VT, where you had men and women and people of color and transgender directors talking about how this is the moment, this is the time. I thought the star of that was Kumail Nanjiani.
Absolutely.
Who was really, really
just
funny.
Brilliant, isn't he?
he's fantastic. And just talking about how this is the time. And that was reflected, and how they're breaking down doors and sweeping away cobwebs. And that was reflected in some of the speeches. Guillermo del Toro's best picture acceptance speech ended with him something saying like, there is a door, kick it open.
Yeah.
And damn straight, kick it open. Absolutely, do that.
The other thing on that kind of diversity and openness that was just a little moment that doesn't seem to have had as much attention was Rachel Shenton accepting the award for best live action short film for her film The Silent Child, which is about a deaf 4-year-old, and she signed her own speech in sign language as she was giving it. And I thought that was just a really classy move and a really kind of lovely touch of kind of openness and inclusivity.
She's English, so I was wondering whether she was actually signing it in BSL or ASL.
Yeah, they're very different, aren't they?
They are very different. And I actually used to know some BSL, but I clearly have forgotten it all because I couldn't tell. I'm going to assume BSL. It looked more demonstrative. ASL tends to be more single channel with one hand, I think, as I recall. I'm sure someone can correct me on that.
More like Sally Hawkins in The Shape of Water.
Exactly. Telling Shannon to fuck you.
Yeah.
The only good bit in an otherwise shit film.
Oh, come on.
And also a great gif.
Come on. I know you're never one to have a moderate opinion, but you're doubling down on sheer wrongness.
I'm tired
now.
And my hatred is bubbling over.
All right. So do we have a list of the winners? Because there were some... There's some good ones to go through just very, very quickly to polish off some other ones. All right, so best original song. I was quite pleased to see that Remember Me from Coco, which is, I think, not alone amongst the best original song, but I didn't think it was a great set of songs this year. Is one of the few with you know, what's it called? A melody. So that was good.
And it's been stuck in my head for the last couple of weeks as James keeps singing it at his desk.
Yeah.
In a slightly dodgy Mexican accent.
I wasn't going to mention that. Did.
Yeah. I think if you hear the big story, though, that Gael García Bernal is actually being hunted for murder for what he did to that song on stage early on tonight. Alexandra Desplat, or as autocorrect had it when I was frantically trying to live tweet the Oscars, Alexander Desolate, that helped, won Best Original Score for The Shape of Water. You know what, I think Johnny Greenwood's score for Phantom Thread's good. I'm a little surprised, and I wonder if it's because Hans Zimmer's Dunkirk score puts the fear of God.
It's just a load of discordant noise. Isn't
one of the people as well couldn't tell what was the music and what was the sound design, because it was so kind of ticky ticky ticky.
What was Tom Hardy beatboxing?
What was he doing under that mask?
Best visual effects went to Blade Runner 2049.
War for the Planet of the Apes was rough.
Absolutely, that was criminal.
That was the bad shocker of the night for me. Not that Blade Runner 2049 is undeserving, but
not in the same league.
I mean. That entire trilogy of Planet of the Apes films has changed the way that you can make films, that you can do performance capture out in the wild, and the extent to which they perfected it in War for the Planet of the Apes is genuinely incredible. That's like probably my least favorite of the three films as well, but purely from a technical standpoint, it is by far one of the greatest technical achievements of the last few years.
That is, to me, that's the bar for visual effects, that film is. It really is. It's extraordinary.
That's okay. Take it or leave it. Not to recycle my Twitter gags, but Blade Runner 2049 deserves to win because any film that makes Harrison Ford look like he gives a shit deserves to win for best visual effects, because I presume that was all CG. But the big win for Blade Runner 2049, and I think for not just British cinema, not just for cinema, but I think for humanity in general, was that Roger the Deakins finally won best cinematography at the 47th time of asking, and there was much rejoicing.
Yeah, good on you.
That had to happen. There would have been riots in Hollywood. There would have been riots in London. Riots in this room.
Yeah, this felt like a foregone conclusion.
Yeah.
I didn't... I'm the least shocked I've ever been.
What about those light bulbs? Legendary deployment of the light bulbs. Yeah. And he must be thanking Emmanuel Lubezki at Chivo for taking a year off. Because he's beaten him. He's his nemesis. He's his nemesis, isn't he? He's like, fuck you, I will light with candles. And I won the award. Coco won Best Animated Feature.
Beating out Ferdinand and the Boss Baby. Who'd have thought?
Yes, it beat off Ferdinand.
So you've seen the film.
Best Adapted Screenplay.
To be fair, that's at the end of the credits, unless you'd stayed.
Best Adapted Screenplay, Call Me By Your Name.
Yeah, fucking honestly. The four-star masterpiece of this Molly's Game should have taken that. I don't know, horror would agree.
Think that of the films in that category, I would have to agree. I think that Aaron Sorkin's script is a work of art, but hey ho. It was Call Me By Your Name's only award. Best original screenplay is Get Out, as we know, and then Sam Rockwell, and we're back at the big ones, and then we're back home again. So there we go. Another glorious year, and look, the sun is beginning to come up.
It is.
It's a lovely time to be alive. You guys, how can I say this? Get the fuck out of my house. Never darken my doors again. And that is it for our very, very special sleep-deprived Oscar podcast special. Join us every Friday for regular film-related fun. And do keep your eyes peeled for more spoiler specials, interview specials, and whatnot. If you haven't already listened to the Black Panther spoiler special, or indeed the Cloverfield Paradox spoiler special, then do so. And of course, we have our new regular monthly podcast called The Ranking as well, where we talk about filmographies. And this month, we're talking about Stephen King movies. And there's a Martin Scorsese one just about to drop. Right, Jimbo, go.
Yeah, I'm going to go and sit in the bath for a few hours and presumably get a Best Picture win out of it. So that'll be nice.
And Ben, it's been a pleasure. Goodbye.
Thanks for having me.
And it's goodbye for me. I'm just off to crawl on the bed. Actually, no, I'm probably going to edit this and then go to a screening. That's going to be fun.
Enjoy that.
Yeah, I will.
Is there something intense?
Oh, yeah. Big time. I'll tell you what it is another time. Anyway, thanks for listening. Bye-bye.